From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, with two-man coverage of the red and gold, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It's a brand new week, and I just want to say happy Father's Day to everybody out there. I had a blast, and I hope you did too. We have a couple of things we're going to talk about. We're going to start this session of about 6 weeks before training camp starts, and we're going to go over positions and questions and what needs to happen, things that we're concerned about. And today, I'm going to start with, as we're reorganizing, Chris is spending time with his family, so it's just me for Monday. We'll be back together, and we have some announcements coming up as well. Some new people added to the Locked On Chiefs staff on the website, some new connections that we're making that I think you guys are going to really like. So hold tight for that, and we'll have some announcements on the way. As for this weekend and where you can find stuff, still have all the analytics from the draft on Rogue Analytics, where I am the founder and the lead investigator, prognosticator, whatever you want to call it. Also, check out RGR Football on YouTube. The links are in the show notes. More discussion of broader topics there. Obviously, because it's a video format, it's not quite down to the detail because we don't have as much time on a given topic. But definitely like your feedback. I know some of you have already checked that out and are subscribed over there. Appreciate that. And please, the rest of you, check out and let me know what you think. As for some of the questions that I'm being asked on both genres, first and foremost, one that I think is really a great story in the making anyway. And a lot of questions about what's going on with Elliot Berry. That is the younger brother, one of the twins, younger brothers of Eric Berry. And he came to the rookie camp, did not get signed to a contract. So he was there for that 3-day rookie camp, did not participate in OTAs, did not participate in mini camp. As far as I am able to find, and everyone that I have checked with that has ties to what's going on in the league, he is still a free agent and out there and available. Now, the Chiefs got a pretty good look at him. There wasn't a whole lot that I think that there was still a question mark. I think they know where he is in terms of his skill level and what he brings to the table, and they're aware of that. So while I don't think there's a whole lot of interest right this second, they're certainly familiar. And of the teams in the National Football League, they are the most familiar. So if there is injury, if there is question about the way some of the younger guys are going to work out, it's a possibility that he could end up getting recalled to the Chiefs if somebody doesn't call him up first. But as it stands right now, he's on the street and available. I think he put some film on the rookie camp so that there's a possibility he could get picked up elsewhere as well. So just keep an eye out for that, and we'll find out. Hopefully, all the Berry brothers end up playing in the league, and maybe some of them will play together. Right now, Evan, Elliott's twin, is making the switch to wide receiver, as I understand, over in Cleveland. John Dorsey brought him in, and that signing has stuck, and he is still on the roster looking to get ready for training camp. So at least one of the twins is set to go, and I will not count Elliott Berry out. The resilience of that family and the skill set that they possess, even if they're not the athlete their older brother is, they're still somebody that I think can participate, maybe not in Kansas City, but elsewhere. So keep an eye out for what's going on with him. And I think that's something that would be a great story to see. It may just not be really realistic because of what the Chiefs have going on, particularly at his position. And honestly, when you're talking about Evan switching from safety over to wide receiver, the Chiefs don't have any more room there either. So it just so happens that these particular positions have been something the Chiefs have been looking at for a while, and they've kind of stocked their cupboard with options. And that may be the reason that you're seeing a lull there. And it's unfortunate because it's a great story to have a younger brother play with his all-pro brother. I think that would be a great thing to see. But we'll have to play it by ear at this point. And we are going to talk about safeties here later today. What I want to cover beyond what's going on with Elliott, and there is very little other news right now. We told you that the draft class is complete. They made a few moves. One thing over the weekend, we thought J.D. Moore had been released. It turns out he has actually been put on IR. So something happened at minicamp that forced that change. And we'll have to see whether it's a temporary and he starts the year on PUP and can come back, or if something else is going to go on there. But what I want to talk about first and foremost, a couple other questions that I've gotten, and then we're going to talk about the safeties here in a little bit. And first, Dan asked me on Twitter, I think it was, if I have it right, can we talk about how soon Derek Nnadi can play? And this was in response to when I said, you know, the class is complete. He's been signed. He's ready to go. And he said, can he start against the Chargers? And that's a tough call in my mind. You brought Xavier Williams to Kansas City for a reason, and that is to be the first and second down run stuffer, a guy with experience at nose guard. And that's great. I think he probably ends up, to start the season, your starter. The interesting thing about Williams is that he's versatile. He can penetrate gaps as well, and so it gives him more opportunity to play on third down in a two-tackle set, which I think we're going to see a lot more of this season with the Chiefs, which then leaves room for reps for Nnadi. And certainly, if you want to go big and you're going to face a team like the Titans from last season, where you know if they're going to make some hay, it's going to be on the ground running the ball, then I think you get both of them in there, along with Alan Bailey, and you've got a nice stout line that can really put up a wall. And so there's going to be some opportunity for that as well. But I think later in the season, you might see more of a rotation and Nnadi might get a chance to start. Williams is not on a super long-term contract, so it may be something that takes a year or two to actually come to pass, where Nnadi's going to end up starting games for this defense. But I think it will happen eventually. So keep an eye out for that, and we'll just have to see how it progresses. Training camp will definitely be the thing that gives that away. And I want to answer one other question before we talk about the safeties in the secondary in general. And that's from Bradley Wagner. And questions particularly about Watts. And we finished the week last week talking about how Watts and Murray had done. And he asked specifically a couple of things. But we'll start here with DeMarcus Robinson before we get to the safety question. And that is he a favorite target for Mahomes from his time last year? And is that going to be what we're going to see going forward? And normally I would have said last season that yes, but there were a couple of miscues. When he had the opportunity, he had a really good drive with Pat Mahomes in the Tennessee game, but there were a couple of miscues, a couple of things where he wasn't on the same page as Mahomes against Denver. And really, I just don't know that you can say that there's a favorite. I think what you have is a trio up top that can play any of the positions. And that includes Watkins, who they're really, really pushing to learn. And I think from all accounts, including his teammates, Sammy Watkins is making great strides in learning this offense as fast as anyone ever has in their experience. And that's really the key. And so with Watkins, Hill, Conley, you have guys that know the inside and out of all the positions that they can move around. I think those are going to be your starting trio. If there's any kind of injury slowdown for Conley, if there's any trouble learning the offense for Watkins, you're going to see DeMarcus Robinson get some more reps. Now, that's not to say that DeMarcus isn't going to get reps in general, because I think you do see four wide receiver sets in 2018 than we've seen in the past, and that's going to include DeMarcus Robinson. I think he is the next guy. Call him a 3B if you really want. I still feel like Conley's better, and I think at the end of camp, that's the way it's going to shake out. But that's really where it stands right now. There could be progression in training camp. There always is. And that gel is what's going to come and bring it together. If they're on the same page, just look for who gets hot. And we'll keep a definite eye on that coming for August, when it looks like they're going to start July 26th with a couple of days with just quarterbacks and specialties. And then they're going to get to training camp itself. So let me take a quick second and we'll come back and we'll answer Bradley's other question and get into the secondary. Now, on the other side, Bradley wanted to know specifically, when it comes to Watts, when are we talking about him being able to play, and where is he compared to McQuay and Murray? And the interesting thing about what's gone on in Chiefs offseason is that it's been so low profile in terms of what they've let people see, what they let the media film. We haven't gotten a whole lot of things that we can look at to really figure out where everybody's at. But clearly, what we've heard from those that have seen practice and what minicamp went on, even though it was cut short and ended up only being two practices, but what we found out is that Sorensen's getting a lot of reps, Murray's getting a lot of reps, and you're getting Watts in there. You're getting some Golden in there. Jordan Stearns is playing with the second tier. And I think he's a guy that's a low cost but rising player that may force some question marks here. But in terms of where Watts is, I look at Watts being right in the thick there with Eric Murray and Dan Sorensen, because Sorensen's playing out of position as a free safety, and that's really what Watts can do well. Murray is still a guy that played nickel corner in college, adjusted to safety, ended up playing up closer to line of scrimmage more in 2017 than you would have liked. You want to see him transition to be the deeper safety more often, but again, that's a process. That's something that is not necessarily something he's experienced before. Although, from all accounts, including Therese Paylor, who's talked to him pretty extensively last season, that Eric Murray is a very knowledgeable guy, big football IQ, quick to learn the defense. And I think that what you're going to see, that he's going to be in the thick of it for the battle for who starts. I think if Armani Watts is able to show that he's in that same tier, almost as good, maybe even a little better than Eric Murray at playing the deeper safety role, I think what that shows you and what it's going to lead to is a conversation within the organization about, yes, we like Dan Sorensen. He's made some plays for us in the past. If he is not a guy that we feel is the best option to start opposite Eric Berry, is his contract worth it? And that's really what it's going to come down to. I think if you see articles, if you see people starting to prognosticate about who are quote-unquote veteran cap casualty candidates, Dan Sorensen is one of them. And that's simply because he's been in the league long enough that he's made progression, signed a second contract, and he's making a healthy salary. But he's really a guy that belongs playing the same style, the same position, the same assignment types as Eric Berry. The great thing about Eric is he can play his normal robber slash strong safety role, but he can play free as well. He's that unique of an athlete. Dan is not. And with him playing behind Eric Berry for the last few years, he's had more opportunities because of injury with Berry. And you have to think that if Barry's fully recovered now, that is kind of a limited role, unless you think you can squeeze him over to the other side. And I'm just not convinced that that can happen. Bob Sutton might be. So we may be having this discussion again and again and again until we know what Sutton thinks. But I think what you see at the end of the day is you need somebody that's going to play free safety with some range. You want to be able to disguise your coverages and roam, change your coverages pre-snap. And a lot of what we've seen that before, and if you can picture in your mind, and I'll probably do a video on this for RGR football. If you picture in your mind the way the strong safeties, and particularly the third safeties, move around on the field pre-snap, you think back to games like Oakland, and you think back to games where players got opportunities in the middle of the field because it looked like they were in a cover two shell with two deep safeties on the hashes. And either at the snap or slightly before, you see one of them drop down into that intermediate dimension behind the linebackers, but in front of where the safeties were lined up. And you used to see Ron Parker be very good about waiting to the snap and being able to shift from what looked like a cover two shell to a single deep safety. And Ron had the speed to make that recoverable, to make that disguise work, because he could make it to his deep third and even across the field when he had to, because he was a speedy athlete. And that's something that goes for Armani Watts as well as Eric Murray. And now neither of them are as fast as Ron Parker is. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say they're equal. I'm saying that they are more in line with that type of speed than Dan Sorensen is. And so what that ends up doing is giving you a kind of handicap in terms of how much you can do movement there, either just as the snap turns off or the couple of seconds leading up to, because sometimes that's just as effective when quarterbacks see those safeties moving and they're trained to watch the safeties. That's a key part of their read, because they have to know what's going to be available down the field. Maybe even if it's, you know, a screen or just, you know, a short route combination that they're looking for, they need to be able to read that. And being able to shift those guys in the few seconds before the snap, and particularly as the ball is snapped, as soon as they get their primary read, they're moving. That is something that the Chiefs have used in the past and have come to rely on. It's effective. It gives them opportunities at turnovers that they wouldn't otherwise have, because just sitting back and waiting isn't always the best plan. Now, let me take another second, and we'll come back and we'll talk about the way I think it's going to fall out. Now, the tough part in this whole conversation, and people have pointed this out to me, and that's why I wanted to bring it up today, since I'm flying solo on a Monday, and that is Golden. Golden is a guy who's played in the league, played for a good team, played a ton of special teams, and done very, very well at it. He is a successful special teams player, and that's something the Chiefs covet. You know, they maybe more than other than a handful of other teams in this league put a lot of pressure and a lot of investment into the special teams. And when you have Dave Tobe around, there's a good reason why. Returnability is just the guy that reaps the benefits. Yes, Tyreek Hill can do some things on his own. He may not actually be the returner this year, but his skill set is impressive. But he still needs blockers. There's 11 guys on a kickoff and a punt return, just like there is on every other play. So you can't just say that it's Tyreek Hill. So I think Golden's got such a unique ability there that a lot of folks see him as, oh, they have to keep five safeties now. Well, I got to tell you, back to what we were saying before, I think Golden is a guy that can play defense in the snap, but I don't see him in the Chiefs' plans for playing defense. I think what it is you have a guy right now in Dan Sorensen that can play the third safety, might be able to play the second safety, and he's very good at special teams. I take nothing away from Sorensen on special teams. But having Golden and having the young guys in Murray and Watts allows you true deep safety types, guys that can play coverage more than the run, which I'm not so sure that I think Dan Sorensen can. But Golden gives you the backside, a guy that can be an ace on special teams. And when you combine those, you're making up for all the things that Dan Sorensen has in a package. And it once again gives you another option to move on from Dan Sorensen because you have a guy that can play special teams specifically. At the end of the day, I think what we're going to see is a camp battle for who gets to play with Eric Berry. And as long as Berry remains healthy, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him have a little bit of time off every now and then. You'll hear about a practice here or there that I think they'll give him some extra rest, because losing him early in the season last year was devastating, and they just can't take that on again. But I think what you end up seeing is Murray and Watts fighting. Golden can hold down the special teams, and I think you could see, and I think you probably will see, Dan Sorensen move on, unless he's taken a leap forward. I know he's come in lighter. I know Sorensen understands the situation that he's in. And he has worked hard this offseason to drop some weight, to increase his speed. It's been hinted about and spoken about by several players specifically about what he's tried to do, because he understands the writing on the wall and what the difference these young guys are bringing in. So in the end of the day, I'm just not sure that you can put that amount of money and faith in a guy that's probably only your third or fourth best safety. So let's see what happens. Keep an eye out on that. Now, come back tomorrow. We're going to have Chris, and we're going to start looking at not only position battles, which will be an ongoing theme for the next few weeks, but what the team needs to see in order to take a step forward over last season. This whole next section, these 6 weeks until training camp, we're going to be focused on what this team needs to be successful. And that's the direction we're taking, and I hope you guys will enjoy that. Please, let us know what you think. Hit us on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs or at mine on Ryan Tracy NFL. And leave comments over on RGR Football. Check out those videos and see what you think. We'll be back with you tomorrow, and thank you for listening today.
Thanks for listening to the Locked On Chiefs podcast. While you're out there, give us a rating or review and reach out to us on Twitter at Ryan Tracy NFL and at Chris Clark NFL. We'll talk to you next time.